you guys thank our choir. They don't usually stick around this long during the day, but thank you for helping lead us today in worship. We so appreciate you guys. They're going to take off and get to brunch, so they're going to be in your seats, by the way, whenever you get there. But we're glad that you are here. On this Mother's Day, I was thinking about this idea that, one of the most profound instincts for a human is the desire when someone falls or is hurt, when something's broken, is we want to jump and fix it. And particularly for parents, when we see our kids be hurt by something, whether it's physical or emotional or social, we want to jump right in and fix it. There's this instinct. And it's not just for parents. Some of you have this with your friends too. Maybe it's somebody in your life that you care about. And when you see them hurting, there's just something about the image of God that's built into us that we want to go fix it. One of the worst feelings that we have is when we can't. Whether that's your kid, and some of you remember this. You remember if you're a mom or a dad, remember the first time that your little one, your firstborn, got like a fever that was high? And you remember just, you want to fix it so bad, and there's just like nothing you can do. I mean, Advil or Tylenol, but you got to kind of let it happen. And there's this like fear and helplessness that we feel. And if it goes on too long, whether it's a fever or it's a friendship problem or something else, if it goes on too long, our helpless feeling can turn to a hopeless feeling. You know what I mean? Some of you have that in your life right now. It's your own situation that you've been battling or dealing with, or it's something in your family, and it just feels like it's gone on so long, you've gotten used to this is just the way it is. Today, we're looking at this text in Acts chapter 3. This series, we're looking at how the Holy Spirit, God in spirit, has come to us and how he's at work. And the Holy Spirit does some incredible things to get the church off the ground in Acts. And I want to tell you that he wasn't just doing those then. He's still doing them today. And so my belief is that as you hear this message, that you might find hope for whatever helpless situation you find yourself in. The question that I want you to consider as we look at this text is this: what do you give when what you have to give won't fix it? Just think about the problem that maybe your best friend has, your sister has, your children have. What do you give whenever what you have to give won't fix it? Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says this: one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 p.m. Now, I'm going to read this text and make some comments as we go. I'm going to make some points along the way, and I just want to try to help you sit in this story. So I want you to imagine at the very beginning, it's 3 p.m. The temple is like going to church, like the sanctuary, but it's full of people. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of people on any given day that are moving in and out, going to make their sacrifice, going to ask God, beg God for something in their life, going to go through the motions of worship, just like regular church today. And in the middle of that, Peter and John, this is about 2 months after Jesus has risen from the dead, Peter and John, two of his disciples, they're going to pray. Now, I told you this last week. This is real important. Last week, we talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit, it's better than us walking with Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And when that happens, when you place your trust in Jesus, we are what's called baptized in the Spirit. We get dunked, immersed into the Spirit. And yet, there are parts of us, just like a sponge or anything else that you would submerge in water, there are parts of us that he doesn't fill instantaneously. And the way that you and I can continue to be filled, to continue to allow him to take up more real estate in our heart and in our soul, is through prayer. Prayer is huge for helping us tap into his power. So Peter and John, they're going to pray. And it says, verse 2, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Since his birth, unable to walk, when you think about how his mom felt, talk about helpless. Imagine the hopelessness of this Some of you do. You've got a kid that has some sort of disability or some kind of challenge that they've had from the very beginning. Or maybe you have that yourself. You know exactly what this feels like. Here's this man every day having to be helped to the entrance to the church. And somebody drops him off. They've done the best that they can. And in fact, it's kind of good. Like, he's actually closer to God in this way than some of the beggars just out on the road. He's right there at the doors of the church. And I think if you were going to have to beg from people, have to subsist on the compassion of others, I sure would hope, if it's in Newport Beach, that the best place for you to be would be right outside the doors of St. Andrew's. That we would be the kind of people that when we see the need, we would respond with compassion. So they've done everything they can for this guy. Human effort has gone as far as it can go. And the best it gets for him is begging outside the doors to the church. All of us have fundamental defects from birth. For some of us, they're just more apparent. They're just more visible. For some people, it's an outside thing. You can't hide it. You just can tell there's something that has affected you in a way that makes life one of suffering. But everybody has it. You and I, no matter what we look like, whether like this man, we can't use our legs, or like you and me, we can use them just fine, there is something inside each of us that is broken. And those forms of suffering come in all kinds of shades. I mean, if you think about, you just thinking of your own kids or your own family members, they're the ones that are born and like right from the beginning, they're just melancholy. Any of you have one of those in your family? They're just kind of always meh. And some of you have the other kind that have tested the boundaries of God's grace and mercy their entire life. Since the very beginning, they are going to try as hard as they can to outrun God. You've got those too. Whether it's that or it's the kind of anxiety that some of us are born with, that just we struggle with our whole life. We all have places of suffering. And then we also have something else. We have struggles with sin, things in our lives that we're born with that's kind of our specific sin pattern. So for some of us, it's pride. And from the very beginning, we just think God should be so happy that we came into his world. Can't believe we are on his team. Isn't he lucky? For others of us, it's gluttony. Like this insatiable desire for more, whether it's more food or more power or whatever. For some of us, it's resentment or anger. You're just prone to that. Whatever it is, if you're a parent especially, you recognize the pattern in your kids, don't you? You've known it their whole life. And for this situation, this man, his parents have been able to see his struggle the whole time. But what the enemy does with our places of brokenness, he doesn't just let those do their work. Like, here's the thing that you should know about the enemy of your soul. Call him the devil, call him Satan, whatever. He loves to maximize the impact of your brokenness. So he won't just let you have anxiety. It's not just that you have to deal with the tornado swirl, internal kind of stuff that happens if you deal with anxiety. You know what I'm talking about. But he also will now isolate you because you're afraid to go put yourself in a situation where you might become anxious and have a panic attack. So you're not just disabled. He distances you from people and says, you can't come in here. You can't do this. You feel isolated. It's not just that you struggle with an eating disorder that is wrecking your body. It's also that he says you should be ashamed about it. And you have to carry a secret about it. And he loves to maximize the impact of suffering. In this guy's case, he's experienced the full weight of his problem. See, he gets left at the outside of the gate, which also tells us that he can't go into the temple. And this time and place, there was a part of any kind of disability that people believed was a sign of your own sin. So if you were a person that had an outward disability, you didn't have the same access. But what's about to happen to this man who has believed that as good as it gets is sitting in the dirt in front of the church. He's close to God. He knows the people of God, but he's not yet experienced the power of God. And that's about to change for him in a significant way. Maybe there's a place in your life that you would say you're here too. You've been sitting in that situation for so long that your expectation that it could ever change has gotten real low. You would say, you might even put yourself around God. You come to church, but it doesn't seem to change it. You join a group, but it doesn't seem to change it. And you're here today and you're going, I would love to encounter the power of God. It says this, he had this lethargy that had happened. You know what this is? Adam Grant, a couple years ago during the height of COVID, he wrote it. He called it languishing. Do you remember this? Such a great term. The opposite of flourishing. Lethargy or languishing, it's not like you're just completely shut down. It's just that you have very low levels of expectation. It's like I was in Chicago this past week and was having to move around between locations a lot, and my phone at some point, you know, got really low. And what happens to your phone whenever it gets almost to the end of its battery life? It goes into low power mode, right? That little yellow thing. I don't know what it does if you have an Android, I'm sorry. But in an iPhone, it goes this little yellow battery and it shuts down all of the functions except the most important. Just keep it alive. That's what spiritual lethargy does. It kind of shuts you down to the point where you might still be going through the motions, but you don't really believe that anything is possible. And right in the middle of that, Jesus enters this man's story. It says verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So once you get the scene, here's the guy, he's used to begging all day long. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's been doing this all day. It doesn't look like today is going to be any different than any of the other days. And so he just kind of looks up, sees two guys coming in and is like, could I get something? But doesn't even make eye contact with him. And Peter, in a moment, just the Spirit of God begins to work inside him. And he says, look at me. It's all about where you're looking. He's going to change his expectations. See, he saw them, but he wasn't looking for anything different. He was thinking that he would just get a little money, just a little more to kind of help him in his situation. But what God wants to do for him and what I believe God wants to do for you is to completely change his condition. Look at us, Peter says. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. But his expectation is way too low. I wonder if yours is that way too. Is there a part of your life where your expectation to get a little something from God is just too low? Your hope tank is empty. What's interesting to me is we're told that Peter and John would go to the temple all the time. This man for 40 years has been sitting there. They have passed him over and over and over again. You get that? He's been sitting there begging. They've walked right past him on a lot of days. What's different about today? In fact, Acts 4:22, the next chapter tells us that this guy's about 40 years old and that he's been there that long. That means Jesus walked past him a whole bunch of times before. Why didn't he heal him? Why didn't he do something about it? Maybe you're thinking, why hasn't he done something about me? Why hasn't he done something about my kid? Here's a real important principle. Jesus' timing is just as important as his will. The timing with which he enters your life with power to change things is absolutely, you and I don't always understand his timing, but it's just as important as his desire to change it. And for this guy, it's going to happen today. Peter says, silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. And you got to think the guy's like, what's this? Is this like tickets to something? Is he giving me a blessing bag, you know, a water bottle and some socks and whatever? Not that there's anything wrong with doing that. It's just that's how low his expectation is. I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give you right now. And what he says is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, I wonder if you, maybe as a parent or as a friend to somebody who's going through a really difficult time, if you've ever felt this way. I don't have what you think you need. I don't even have to give you what I think that you need. You ever feel like that? Like when, what do you do? What do you give when what you have to give just won't fix it? We've all been there. Your friend calls and they're going through that moment again where they thought they were past this and now it's right back. The depression is back. Their suicidal thoughts are back. The addiction that they thought they were getting out of the grasp of is back. And you don't know what to say. You don't have any idea how to help them. No counseling, no therapist, no dollars, no education. Nothing is going to help. You ever felt that way? And in that moment, Peter says, let me give you what I do have. Now, this whole story reminds me of somebody who did this for me. It's my mom. And because you're there and I'm up here with the mic, you're going to have to hear me brag about my mom for a moment, okay? But this is a picture of her. That's my mom and me at Christmas here a couple years ago. Isn't she gorgeous? I know. And my mom was kind of like Peter and John. So we grew up, my brother and I, and it was tough. Like, didn't have a lot. Most of the time, it was sort of like mom trying to figure out how to make ends meet. I mean, there was lots of days where the insecurity of where we would live, or to be real honest, sometimes what we were going to eat was there. That's our reality. And my mom did the best that she could possibly do. I mean, this woman, so whenever we were in elementary school, she wanted us to go to this like private school, this little small Christian school, and because she wanted to make sure that we kind of grew up in faith. And so she became, because she couldn't afford it, she decided to become the secretary at the school. Which sounds really, really cool, unless it's your mom that's the secretary at the school. But she did that to make sure that we could go. And then, not only that, but we wanted to play sports, and we didn't have the money for that. And my mom signed up to be the janitor at the school that we went to after hours so that we could afford to go. And I will tell you, I was even less thrilled about that idea when I was in fifth grade. I mean, like, when your mom's the janitor, kids are mean. But she didn't care. She was giving us what she had, her energy, her love, her presence. There were nights when that still didn't work, and so my mom started baking wedding cakes for people, and I can still remember the sound of the mixer driving us crazy. But she gave everything that she had. And you know what, though? None of that stuff fixed it. All her effort, it didn't fix all of our issues. And maybe you felt that way too. But you know what she did? More than just give us those things, my mom made sure that she gave us Jesus. And look, there were a lot of years, I'm sure, Mom, if you're watching, there are a lot of years that she's like, I'd like to forget those because I don't think it took. But from the very early stage, she didn't just tell us about Jesus, she introduced us to Jesus. Let me tell you how she did that. Like, she didn't just pray for us. She prayed for us a lot. I mean, I would hear her at night in the other room, like, praying for me and my brother by name. But then she would pray with us. She didn't just tell us about how God could fix all of the problems. She actually would invite us into the situations. Like, this is powerful stuff, you guys. She would help us interpret life through the lens of God as provider. Man, that is powerful stuff. Because you see what she was doing? She was introducing us not to her ability to fix things, but to the only one who has the ability to fix all of the issues. So my mom gave us a foundation. I just want to think, before I move on the message, if you had a mom like that too, can we just all together like thank God out loud for moms who did that, who introduced us to Jesus? That's a gift, because whether you're a parent or a friend or a grandparent, the most important thing you can do is to point people to a power that this world does not have. It's amazing how little money can buy, isn't it? When your kid's sick, when you need help, when you can't fix it, all of the education, all the therapy, all the money doesn't always solve the problem. But we have a risen and reigning Savior who says, I have taken authority over everything. all of your broken places, all of your sin pattern, all of your suffering, I have authority. That's what the cross did. It didn't just give you forgiveness of sin. When Jesus got up out of the tomb, it also said he took the keys, the authority to everything. And in fact, what he's doing, and this is what's happening in this book, is he is slowly watching us break into, live into this new reality of the kingdom. It's like, I've told you this before, it's like an old broken down parking lot of concrete, and then you see some little shoots of grass coming up in the cracks. That's the kingdom of God breaking through. And it happens over and over as his spirit comes and meets us and takes authority over the things that are broken in us. Verse 7, it says, Peter tells him, I'm going to give you what I do have. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now, Luke is a doctor. So when he's writing, I mean, think about that. Think about in somewhere around the 50s, 60s AD, Luke wants to make sure that we understand the detail, that it wasn't just that his legs suddenly had like strength in them, that from the foundation up, his feet and ankles became strong. What kind of foundation are we giving? When people come to us with something that's broken and we can't fix it, what kind of foundation are we helping them see? It doesn't matter if your thighs are strong and your hips work. If your feet and ankles don't work, you ain't getting up. It doesn't matter if you have the education. It doesn't matter if you have all the travel teams. It doesn't matter if you have the money. If you don't have a foundation in Christ, you ain't getting up. I know that's bad grammar, but, you know, it's whatever. It's Mother's Day. It says he grabbed him by the hand and he picked him up. And then it says, you can get happy in just a second. Here it comes. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping. I love that. He's like, I'm testing these things out. Captain Dan got new legs, boys. He is jumping and running and praising God. When the power of the Holy Spirit hits him, he got more than he asked for. Not just different than he asked for, more than he asked for. And he's testing them out. And it says that he goes running through. I mean, can you imagine his whole life he's never taken a step? Can you think about that place in your life that you've never been able to have a day of peace? Your whole life you've never felt like you were good enough. The tragedy that happened to you, the abuse that happened to you, the ways that you were, you've been thinking your whole life, this is as good as it will ever get. Could you just imagine for a moment, could you just let your heart hope for a moment, if the Holy Spirit comes and meets that, what it would be like for you to run and jump and praise God? Wouldn't that be incredible? Folks, he didn't just do it then. He does this still today. And what I love about this is it's a picture of what he's going to do in the future. See, Luke writing this, he's thinking about in his mind this picture of the future kingdom. And he's trying to show, and this is something you should know, every time God does a miracle, every time Jesus or the Holy Spirit does a miracle, it's meant to, two things. One, help the person that it happens to. But two, show us a picture of the future. It's a preview. It's a trailer for the movie. That one day, everyone is going to be completely restored and healed. And I know it seems like it's never going to get better for you, but God's plan and purpose is that one day his kingdom comes fully and all the things that are broken in your child, whether they're 5 or 65, all the things that are broken in your life are going to be restored. God doesn't work on low battery mode. He works on full charge, all the functions. So the man jumps and praises. He runs into the court, into the church where he's probably never been before, and he starts a ruckus. I love this. You got to think about it. Picture the scene. There's a bunch of people in there praying. It's kind of quiet. And all of a sudden, this guy, you're not supposed to do that in church. Not like, you know, this kind of church. You don't run around jumping and yelling. And they're all like, shh, I'm praying my safe prayer that I've been praying for years. Be quiet. You're interrupting me with my low expectation. Shh, be reverent. You ever feel like that? You come in here and you want to pray that kind of big, bold thing. But you feel like, Hey, this is as good as it gets. He can't help himself. He's jumping. He's running all around. And then it says, whenever the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man that used to sit begging at the temple gate. And then they're like, oh my God, what happened? And they're all amazed, filled with wonder and amazement at what happening. And so then it says, while the man held on to Peter and John, and I love that. I don't know if it's because, like, first time using his legs, they got tired pretty quick. I don't know if it's because he saw an onslaught of people coming after him to see what happened to the miracle guy, and he's like, hold me back, take care of me, boy. I don't know. But he's holding on to the two of them. And it says, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? I love that line. Fellow Presbyterians, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? And then in verse 16 he says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. So what does this mean in the name of Jesus? Like we pray this all the time, right? Have you ever thought about it? When we say at the end of a prayer, you kind of tag on, you know, like da-da-da-da-da, and give me this. In Jesus' name, amen. It's almost like a, you know, your sign off. But it doesn't mean that. The reason that we pray in Jesus' name is what happens in the name of a powerful person. If you're the king, if you're the emperor, if you're the president, you write, according to my name, my authority, my will, my desire, and then people go and make it happen, right? Usually it's not the king who goes out and does the thing. He just says, I want this to be the case. And then everybody goes to work, making it happen. This is the Holy Spirit. He is, we said a couple weeks ago, he proceeds from the Son and the Father. The Holy Spirit comes and does according to Jesus' will and in his authority and power, whatever he says. And that's what Paul's trying to say. It's not me. It's not me and John that have some special, like, magic touch. This is God at work. And you know what's good news about that? Is you have it too. If you're in Christ, you have the same Holy Spirit that did this, that raised Jesus from the grave, is in you and me. And I just am crazy enough to think that we're praying prayers that are way too low. That maybe we need to pray prayers like this. I can't fix your problem. I don't have it. But I know Jesus. And maybe in that moment, as you and I have faith, the power of the Holy Spirit goes to work. I want you to catch this too. Peter says to the man, it's not his faith, right? Whose faith was it? It was Peter's faith. It wasn't the guy who was sitting there with his legs didn't work. God knew that he was unable to elevate his thinking and his vision beyond his current reality. Sometimes we need the faith of our friends to help us. Sometimes you and I need to be the faith for someone. What do you give when what you have to give doesn't fix it? You give your faith. And that's what changes everything for this guy. He asked for coins, but he got Christ. It was actually the place of his brokenness, his permanent impairment, was the doorway to God's power. And I just want you to think about that thing that you said to yourself when I started this sermon. And I started talking about the places in your life that are broken. Maybe you can't fix it. What if that place in your life was actually the doorway for you to experience God's power? What if you could go through the rest of life with whatever that is, whenever God chooses to deal with it? And look, he's going to deal with all of them. Right? Either on this side of eternity or the next. You will be healed. You will be set free. What if you could go through life saying, God, instead of me trying to hide or push away or deny my place of weakness, I want it to be the door in which you open up and come in. What if we prayed for our kids that way? What if we parented that way? Instead of, because look, this is what the scripture says, his power is made perfect in our weakness. It's exactly the place where you can't do it on your own that God says, oh, I like that. That's where I want to show up. What if you began to parent? What if you friended? What if you did your marriage relationship in exactly the place where they are weak and it looks impossible to change? If you began to just pray, God, this is where I'm asking you to show up. Do you think he might do that for one or two of us? Do you think this guy sitting at the gate in first century Jerusalem is the only person that God wants to show out like that for? I don't. I think just sometimes our expectations and our prayers are way too small. So, I want to ask you right now with me to end this time and let today, maybe, for some of you, you've been doing this all along, and all I know, again, God's timing is just as important as will. I don't know why he's waiting, but I know that you can't lose hope, and some of us are going to have faith for you that you don't lose hope in that. But what if today we start on this Mother's Day? You look back one day and you go, it was Mother's Day 2025 that things began to change because I started to say, God, you do this. I can't fix it. This is the thing, right? You can pray for or clap for that. When only God can fix it, let him fix it. If you're at a place of like, I can't do this anymore, great. Let him fix it. If you are experiencing one of those places right now, I just want everybody to close your eyes. And I want to pray. I want to lead you in a prayer. And I really mean that. I want you to pray too, with whatever faith you have. So Heavenly Father, right now we come to you in the name of Jesus. Like, by the authority of the incarnate Son of God who lived, died, was buried, and is resurrected and reigning at the right hand of God, the place of power and authority of God. In his name we come, Jesus. In your name we come. And Lord, I ask that there are places, there are situations in people's life right now that are so broken beyond repair, they cannot imagine it getting any better than today. God, and we have chosen to just live lives of low power mode, thinking that this is as good as it gets. And I ask that you would break into this moment and that you would deliver hope to us, Father. Lord, I pray for those thinking about parenting, for those kids, that whatever it is that we see in them, whether it's a sin pattern, whether it's a suffering they've had their whole life, God, and we are just heartbroken and helpless. Don't let us be hopeless. God, would you go to work and would you show us how you're at work? I pray for every mama's heart that just has been burdened for her children. God, that today you would move on them and you'd let hope start to rise. I pray for every friend that they don't even know what to say anymore when they get the text. Or when they sit down for coffee. God, we all feel in places and spaces like silver and gold, I do not have. Would you give us the courage to say the next line? But what I do have, I give you faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Holy Spirit, we know this is not something that we can gin up or kind of work up ourselves, that is only through and by you that any of this healing can take place. But we need it. We need it for the situations that are broken, but God, we need it for our own faith building, our own encouragement. So Lord, would you bring story after story, example after example of ways that you come and fix these things. Lord, would you heal? Would you set free? Would you speak peace to anxious hearts and minds? God, would you pull back together broken, separated relationships? Would you do what you do best? Would you fix it? And we trust you. Jesus, because you're alive, anything is possible. So we pray in that name. Amen.